What's up? What's up? It's the Queens of the Court podcast. We're the King Size Queens. I'm Paul Jafrida.
I'm John Hanson.
And we're back.
I thought you hated saying that.
It's like our thing. We got to say it every time now. We're back. We're back. It's
been like a month.
Honestly, let's keep it real. Every day that we're not with you is a day that you wish we would come back. So every time you see us, we're back. Because we're back in your life.
Yes, we're here.
Anyway, this is the Queens of the Court podcast. This is a podcast all about women's basketball, trying to show some love to these amazing athletes that work,
sweat,
bleed,
work,
all those things.
We're working on a new format, too.
We are.
New stuff in the works. We got like this new setup on Discord. We're going to have video. We're going to have, you know, content.
Live streamed podcast. We have been hard at work over the past couple months. That's why we haven't been podcasting as much. Kind of getting ourselves ready for a renewal of sorts as we start live streaming our podcast on Twitch and uploading videos of our podcast on YouTube.
Yes.
So very exciting. Some really cool stuff that we're going to be doing here in the future, but we're not doing that yet. So keep listening to us.
Yeah.
Let's get to some women's basketball.
Woo!
So the season is basically over for most teams. Most teams have finished their schedules at this point, and we're really looking ahead towards conference tournament time.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of questions about whether or not conference tournaments were going to be played this year because of COVID and, you know, what's necessary. And we have one conference, the Ivy League, that isn't playing at all. And then we've had a number of other teams drop out for COVID reasons. So there were a lot of questions, but tournaments are going on as planned. This week, we have three of the Power 5 conference tournaments this week. We've got the ACC, the SEC, and the Pac-12, which, if we're being honest, those are probably the most exciting conferences out there.
Definitely, but there's a ton of automatic bids out there, right?
31 automatic bids. Usually 32, but no Ivy League, so.
A ton of bids, though. That's great.
Automatic bids to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
So here's what you need to know about this time of year, because last year, in our first season podcasting women's college basketball, COVID happened right during conference week and everything went to shit and there was no tournament and it was crazy. So here's what happens is there are 32 conferences that play women's basketball in Division I. All of them have a tournament or a way of picking their conference's representative winner, basically, to go to the NCAA tournament and vie for the national championship crown. We often talk mostly about the Power 5 conferences, right, John? Because that's where the majority of the top 25 ranked teams hail from.
Yeah, definitely.
But there are 32 conferences. This year, 31, because the Ivy League isn't playing. So that's 31 bids to the NCAA tournament. And then the committee, a panel, you know, the NCAA, you know, selection committee, picks the other 33 teams from the best of the rest. And again, most of those teams will end up coming out of the Power 5 conferences. Power 5 conferences are the ACC, the SEC, Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the Big 12. You'll probably get a few out of the Big East as well, especially with UConn back there. There's a bunch of good teams there. We'll throw them in as a sixth conference because UConn's the number one team in the country and they're probably always going to be in the top, you know, five. So we got to talk about them.
Definitely. Definitely need to talk about them for sure.
But conference time is exciting. What do you love about, you know, conference tournament time?
I mean, conference tournament time is the pre-dance, right? So, like, this is great. The
pre-dance.
This is exactly...
Is that, like, when, like, the boys are on one side and the girls are on the other side and, like, some brave soul walks across and asks someone to dance with them?
Definitely. That's kind of how it
That's
feels.
That's what's happening in conference tournament.
Everybody's getting ready for the crossover. The big crossover into the March Madness tournament. But this is a great tune-up. It's great for the eye test. It's great.
I love a good eye test.
It's great to see what we're about to possibly get in the NCAA tournament. And it's also, you know, that showcase of teams that maybe we weren't paying attention to. So, you know, it really is amazing because what this week will do for all these teams. And there's so many at-large bids, you know, up for grabs that, you know, if some teams make a run in this, run in these tournaments, they're going to get a random bid and without winning their tournament. And that's awesome.
Yeah. So absolutely. You know, if some of the teams that are bubble teams maybe make a deep run in their conference tourney, that probably helps boost their chances of getting in. But what I love about conference tournament time is I love kind of the lesser known conferences. And you pretty much know almost guaranteed that only one team is making it out of that conference, right? And so this tournament is big time. And I live for the upsets. Like when you get like, you know, this random team that's never made it to the NCAA tournament, and they were like the 5 seed in their conference tournament, and they make a run and they get there and they get a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. I think that's so fun. Like you said, you know, which teams can make it far and maybe upset that bubble? Because if you're like a bubble team and like everyone's expecting like South Dakota State, for instance, who's a ranked team, to win their conference tournament, and that probably be the only team that made it out of that conference. If they don't, if they get upset, they're still getting in the tournament. And that takes away a spot from like a bubble team. So a lot can happen right now. We're always watching, like, you know, Charlie Cream doing his like bracketology on ESPN. You know, he's got a lot of great stuff and great insight into how the committee looks at things. So yeah, conference time. This week, like I said, we have 3 conferences this week. It's the ACC, the SEC, and the Pac-12. Incidentally, those are also the conferences that have announced their end of season awards since their seasons are over. Yep. So real quick, shout out to ACC Player of the Year, Dana Evans. You know, we've spoken about her at Louisville I see, now that we live out here, you're I can't done. Say it.
Yeah, you're done. It broke you.
So backstory. There's a little town out here where we live called Louisville, and everyone calls it Louisville and not Louisville. It's spelled the same. And, you know, I now call it Louisville, but it throws me off when we're talking about this because I forget which one's which. Louisville. Anyway, Dana Evans at Louisville, and she's had a tremendous year. She's definitely a leading candidate for player of the year overall.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about what she's done for that team in the ACC.
Huh?
I said, can you talk a little bit more about what she's done
for that team? Oh, my God. Sorry. It kind of cut right there. It's so chill. She is the leader of that team. She is the best fourth quarter player probably in the country.
Unreal.
Her game goes to another level. She is, you know, ice in her veins type of player where she will take every big shot. She will step up. Her points per game go up. Everything goes up. Her field goal percentages. She's just fantastic. She'll probably, based on history, win National Player of the Year, in my opinion, just because.
As a senior.
Yeah, senior. They're probably not going to give it to anybody younger. And, like, I don't see anybody else that's really made that, like, clear standout performance over the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks. To like set themselves like apart. Some of these freshmen though, you know.
Yeah.
They could be barking up that tree, but you know, Dana Evans is the probably eventually number one draft pick. She, you know, she's got a lot going for her, and Louisville's got, you know, they're sitting at number 5 right now, could end up still getting that number 1 seed. Based on who they've played and what they've done. So like,
and see how they go in the ACC tournament. I mean, it's going to be huge for them to see if they can beat NC State.
Yeah. Win it.
Yeah.
If they were to beat NC State and win that and get the revenge game back, you know.
Yeah.
They're still the number one seed, and you know, she's done everything right for the past 4 years. So
yeah, she's been amazing. She was so dangerous. She's always been dangerous, and she's learned from the best. And so yeah, she's ACC Player of the Year for a reason. Yeah. ACC Rookie of the Year, Freshman of the Year went to Camila Cardoso, who we've talked about, the big center from Syracuse, huge touted recruit, you know top five recruit in her class, and she's just been everything they could have hoped for on both ends of the floor. Very deserving Rookie of the Year. You know, leads all freshmen in the ACC in rebounds, second in points per game only to Maddie Westfeld, who we'll talk about more later. So yeah, good for her. Like I said, she's a player to really watch. We've done a little spotlight on her already. So we'll move on to Coach of the Year. Coach of the Year went to Nell Fortner of Georgia Tech, and you know, deservingly so. This was not a team that was picked to finish very high. They were picked to finish like ninth in the ACC, and they're sitting third right now. And they've had big wins over big programs, and you know, they've been really consistent. So good for her.
Best record, but they play everyone tough. They have a lot of tough games, a lot of tough wins, and their losses are pretty marginal. Like, they're not like a huge blowouts or anything like that. So yeah. Real surprising, I would say. And that's cool. We would love more. Give us more action of random teams that, you know, can shake things up. We love it.
Absolutely. 100%. All right, let's hop over to the SEC. SEC Player of the Year, no surprise here, Ryan Howard. Definitely another, you know, big Player of the Year Wooden Award watch list candidate. She's been a little bit quieter this year. She has great numbers still, but maybe there hasn't been as much just media attention around her as much this year. Kentucky's had a little bit of a rough run the last month or so, but she's still putting up big numbers, and she's still very deserving of a Player of the Year award, especially in such a stacked conference with players like, you know, Aaliyah Boston and Renia Davis and, you know, some of these others.
Totally. I honestly felt like
Chelsea Dungy also going, just lots of great players
going into the year. She was obviously, you know, top five in what we thought we were going to be players of the year. So good for her to, you know, being consistent and still being that player. It seemed like she dealt with like a little bit of a hand injury most of the year. You know, she had like a little thumb thing that she had previously in her career. So, you know, maybe that slowed her up a little bit, but her numbers were still fantastic. It just seems like it might have affected Kentucky's win-loss, you know, record. You know, the seven losses, kind of rough. And, like, you know, regardless, they're going to be dangerous with Ryan Howard going into any tournament just because she can win you a game, right? That's what's, you know, the things about these tournaments is you need a player that can do that for you, because everybody else could be off, and those players usually aren't off, you know, as bad as they have it. So interesting to see what happens with Kentucky, but congrats to Ryan Howard again.
Yep, absolutely. You know, she's another player that, you know, not draft eligible this year, but, you know, really, you definitely expected to be like a top pick when she goes to the WNBA. She won, you know, Player of the Year last year. Wooden Award, didn't she? Player of the Year last year.
Yeah.
No.
Sabrina.
Anyway, my bad. She won something. SEC Player of the Year last year. Yeah. Okay. As a sophomore, and as a junior. So yeah, anyway. Yeah. All right. My. Freshman of the Year to the, you know, really talented Madison Scott, Ole Miss, you know, rebounding machine, 6'1" freshman forward. She's had a tremendous year, you know, scoring in double digits and, you know, more than half of her games. She's just been, you know, really solid, you know, for an Ole Miss team that just pulled a big upset. Didn't they just beat Kentucky this weekend?
They did.
Yeah, so
big
so,
upset. Ole Miss, you know, started the year, you know, ranked. But, like, they've fallen out of it. But, like, good for them.
I think it's really exciting for this program to have a freshman of the year, because they haven't been a program that's been really, you know, relevant in the SEC over the last like several years. And they just pulled in Shakira Austin in the offseason, a big name transfer out of Maryland. And now Madison Scott comes in as a freshman performing like this. It's really good for the future of that program. So I think that's really exciting. Very deserving, you know, good on her for putting up those big numbers and earning that award. Yeah. Coach of the year went to Joni Taylor at Georgia, who's been, you know, quietly just like winning and winning and winning. They're ranked 16 right now at 18-5. And they've had a tremendous year. So, you know, good on her. You know, great job, coach. We salute you. Let's hop over to the Pac-12. Player of the year. No surprise here. Your favorite, your girl, your Arizonan Wildcat.
Yeah.
Lady person.
Ari McDonald.
Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I've said all year, and this is what I knew she would do all year. She's fantastic. The team basically runs off her, you know. If she wasn't there, I don't think they would be, you know, anywhere near as good as they are. It's not like many of other programs where, you know, these top 25 teams usually have a couple players that will, you know, really make an impact. Arizona, I feel like she is the focal point. She runs it.
Totally.
So, like, I'm real happy that she was able to do what she did again this year. She did it last year, but, you know, she played awesome, but she wasn't going to win any award behind Sabrina. So, glad she got her recognition here right now.
Yeah, absolutely. She's expected to go high in the draft this year. No one really knows exactly how this draft is going to go. It's such a strange year.
Weird draft, but, strange year. It's going to be more interesting when we get down to that, you know, those final days before the draft time, especially because all these players basically have another year of eligibility if they want it.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm expecting that the NCAA tournament is going to show us who's going to be the top, you know, five draft picks, how those are going to shake out, more or less. Now, there are some players who are, you know, really talented players on teams that aren't expected to make deep runs in the NCAA tournament, but still just seeing them perform in the NCAA tournament could really, you know, increase or decrease their stock. So it's exciting this year. You know, last year it was like a sure thing. You kind of knew where it was going to go for the first few picks. This year you really don't. And that makes it exciting, especially when so many picks are going to Dallas. I'm going to let you talk about the freshman of the year in the Pac-12. It's your girl.
Carlise Ledger-Walker. She, you know, lit it up this year.
Carlise? Is it Carlise or Charlize?
Charlize. Like Charlize Theron.
Yes. Carlise Ledger-Walker.
Yeah, Charlize. So she, got to play with her sister, her senior, you know, sister coming in as a freshman. So that was super fun. Her sister actually, you know, another starter and played real well too. But she's the upcoming star of this program, you know, 19 points a game as a freshman.
Yeah.
Huge year. You know, the program's not the best right now, but clearly they have, you know, a star for the future. So somebody to build around, somebody to build off of. Really, really cool for them. Really cool for that program.
Really cool. And I mean, 5'10" guard out of New Zealand, you know, I love watching these programs like go international to do their recruiting. It worked really well for like Syracuse, South Florida. It's worked well for, you know, here's another example here of just a star. I mean, she had a season high of 29 points, you know, in a game against, you know, USC. And you know, she plays in a difficult Pac-12. She's getting a lot of opportunity to play for a team that, you know, doesn't have a lot of, you know, wins. but, you know, that's kind of the fun of going to a program like that and like getting to kind of build around, you know, your talent.
Pretty sure they upset Arizona this year, which is an amazing win. And she had a great game in it. So it's like, yeah, it's super fun for their program. And like, how cool is that to like go play with your New Zealand sister in, you know, Washington State and like, you know, get to play with her that one year. It's like maybe even two.
Yeah.
I think what's her name said she that what I was reading is she might come back. you know, based on why not.
Yeah, that'd be fun to have them play together.
Yeah, keep going.
It's worth noting here that, like, you know, our three freshmen of the year candidates are all coming from teams that are, you know, not ranked in the top 25. You know, teams that are have fallen out of kind of that, like, you know level this year. But that's where kind of tomorrow's talent is coming from, and that's really exciting.
I mean, this freshman class, right? It's in 4 years. This draft is going to be heavy.
The freshman class is so loaded.
This is totally. Like one of the best classes we've seen in years.
Years.
You have two players right now that can win the National Player of the Year, which is
totally.
It's insane. So crazy. Like, what a crazy class, and like how fun women's basketball is going to be for the next 4 years.
Totally. I'm sorry, my bad. Coach of the year in the Pac-12 is gone to none other than Tara Vanderveer.
I mean,
who earlier this year passed Pat Summitt for, you know, most wins, in D1 NCAA as a head coach.
Based on that alone, I could have predicted. Right. I could have predicted that was exactly. What was going to be the case for this.
Exactly. But, and Stanford's really good. And
she deserves it.
They're great. Blah blah blah. Good job. Go Stanford. Whatever. No, I'm just kidding. while we're talking about Stanford, they got a commitment from the number one recruit in the class of 2022. Lauren Betts, 6'7" post out of Colorado. So big news for Stanford, just going to build upon this program. That's, just going in the right direction. So
Lauren Betts from Colorado
going to Stanford.
Oh,
anyway, those are all the awards that we have to announce right now. We're not really going to get into kind of all the rest of the awards. We've already taken too much time on it probably. But the Big 12 and the Big 10, the other two Power 5 conferences will announce their awards next week while they get geared up for their tournaments. So let's talk a quick look at the rankings before we head into the postseason. A couple weeks ago, we had a reveal where the NCAA committee kind of like revealed like who their top 16 seeds were. There were some surprises, as expected. It looked like they were really, holding it against programs who have had COVID stoppages and haven't had a chance to really like play as many games. And that was very interesting to see, you kind of take a look at like which teams, in our rankings now have kind of had those kind of shortages. There's a number of teams, like Michigan or South Florida or Rutgers who just haven't played that many games because of COVID, and how are they going to be impacted by that? We will have a full reveal on Selection Monday, which is in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think COVID stoppages should affect anything. I mean, I hope.
It's going to mess with the formulas because it changes, your chance to have good wins or bad losses or whatever it could be.
That was the expectation, though, going into the year, right? Like.
Yeah, but then you've had some programs. Then you have some programs who, but how can you hold it against a program take a program that maybe had a couple games against high ranked opponents and they didn't get to play them because of COVID and they didn't get to make them up. Those are opportunities that are lost, but you can't assume that they were going to win those or lose those. That's the problem, is they just get taken off the resume. So suddenly that team just has fewer significant games.
Yeah.
So, you have to hold it against them in that way. When another team like Texas A&M, for instance, has played 23 games and they've played against a ton of high-ranked opponents and have won most of them.
In top 25 games. So, I guess you're right in ways. But, yeah. Shit. Yeah, it sucks.
Shit. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what else to say there, because you think about it and you're like, on one side you're right and with what you're saying and with what it's going with, and then the other side of it is how is it fair though? But
that's you have to.
You have to draw a line. Yeah, you have to draw a line. You have to do it some way, and this is the way. So
yeah, totally.
Fine.
So. Our top 10 right now are UConn, Texas A&M, NC State, Stanford, Louisville. Oh my God. Louisville, Baylor, South Carolina, Maryland, UCLA, and Indiana.
Oh.
All right. So there's our top 10 in the rankings right now. So,
yeah.
See how that changes after conference week.
I think there's a few teams that are like
tournament
real close that will probably end up in the top 10 over a couple teams, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think it all depends on how you do in your conference tournament. So let's get to some of our segments. We've probably talked too long about all this stuff. Let's get into some hot topics.
Oh shit, hot topics.
Hot topics.
My hot topics are bad this week, so I'm going to rip through them real fast.
Mine are pretty bad too. Should we put fewer time on the clock and just rip through?
Ooh, maybe.
We're going to put 3 minutes on the clock.
The hottest of topics.
The hottest of topics.
That's what we got. We're going to shorten this segment tonight.
How do you call it? A heated mess? A mess that was cold but has had heat applied to it, and now it is a hot mess. Anyway, that's Flula. That's Flula. Your boy.
I know.
That's your boy Flula in Pitch Perfect 2.
Love.
All right, 3 minutes on the clock. You're starting. On your mark, get set. Wait. Hot Topics is a segment where we're going to issue statements at each other, and we're either going to give each other a Nah Girl or a Yas Queen, depending on whether we disagree or agree with the statement. So, 3 minutes on the clock. We're going to get through 10 Hot Topics, and go.
The top four teams, one team will get upset in their conference tournament.
Of the top four ranked teams?
Yep, top four ranked teams.
Yas Queen. At least one of them will get upset.
Okay. Louisville will end up getting the last number one seed.
Nah, girl. I don't think they're going to get it. I think even if they win the tournament, I don't think they can get it.
Kentucky is the top team outside of the top 15 that can make a Final Four run.
Ooh, I have to look at like who's outside the top 15, you said? Yeah. Nah, girl. Rutgers.
Ooh, okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Michigan will make the Final Four.
Nah, girl. Like, I want to say yes, and I love what they've done, but they haven't been challenged enough, and they've lost to some teams that I was hoping maybe they wouldn't lose against. They're still a super solid choice. I would expect them to make the Elite Eight, but not the Final Four.
Okay, and Dana Evans will be the player of the year.
Yas Queen, I think she's going to win it. You know, I don't think they want to give it to a freshman. And I think that because there are two really good freshmen, it would be really difficult to pick one of them over the other in their excellence. So I think they'll give it to Dana Evans. I think she's very deserving. So.
Oh, okay, hit me.
All right. Notre Dame will make it to the ACC semifinals and secure a spot in the tournament, extending their streak of consecutive NCAA tournaments made to 25.
No, girl.
South Carolina will get revenge on Tennessee and Texas A&M and win the SEC tourney.
Yeah, Yas Queen. I do think that's going to be the case, and I think they're going to play a lot better going down the stretch.
Yeah, big losses to avenge in Tennessee and Texas A&M.
They do.
Stanford will not win the Pac-12 tourney despite being the number one seed. Your mic's not picking you up when you do that, by the way.
So, Yas Queen. I could see it. I agree. I think Arizona will win that.
Okay. Maryland will breeze through the Big Ten tournament and make it to the Final Four in the NCAA tournament.
Wow, Maryland. What a crazy year they've had. Yas Queen, I love Maryland, so I'm a Maryland fan. To see them in the Final Four would be super fun. They've had big transfers this year that I thought were going to destroy them and didn't skip a beat.
Lastly, Dede Richards is going to have the march of her life, lead Baylor to the Final Four, and secure a top three pick in the WNBA draft.
Nah, girl.
Nah?
Nah.
You don't believe?
I don't believe Baylor's that good.
You don't believe Dede Richards is that good?
No, I think she is that good. I don't think Baylor's that good. I think she would be able to do a lot of this, but I just don't think the rest of the team is good enough
to go to the Final Four.
She might bring them to the Elite Eight and then have a crazy, crazy tournament up until that point. And I think that wouldn't be out of question, but I don't think they're a Final Four team.
GG's, good hot topics.
We did it. 3 minutes, quickest ever.
That's amazing. All right, let's hop into our next segment. Upset of the week.
Wow, upset of the week for me. Is definitely the Iowa Michigan State game or Michigan game, not Michigan State.
Iowa Michigan game. Preach.
Wow, what a game. Nas Hillman in a loss still had 23 and 8. She's still super good. Shot 8 of 13. She's so good at being perfectly, you know, consistent at her shooting percentage. Like it's always high. It's always super solid. Yes, always do that. Yeah. So she was super impressive. But then over to the other side is the freshman of the year, freshman of, you know, like, wow.
Freshman of the century.
Yeah, century. Her game is unreal. Caitlin Clark dominated again. Like, all year she has won freshman of the year, freshman every single of the week, every single week, the whole year.
Every single week.
So she is just super impressive at what she does. She scored 27 on 10 of 17 shooting. 7 of 12 from 3, 9 assists, 5 boards. She's just, you know, she's amazing. You know, and they had two other players that dropped 15 in the game, Martin and Casanino. Great game. So they both shot, you know, 5 of 6 and 7 of 8, you know.
Yes.
Great
game.
So to do that against Michigan, who has been playing like a top 10 team most of the year. You know, they had the COVID issues, but, you know, Iowa's team in 2 years, they are going to be, you know, you can't see them not being a top 5 team.
Totally.
Caitlin Clark, man.
Good ones. Real good ones.
Yeah. What about you?
So for me, I had to pick kind of like an upset event that occurred more than like a game, because this past weekend was rival week for the Pac-12, in-state rival week, as Arizona faced Arizona State and Oregon State took on Oregon. And these are always super exciting games. It doesn't matter where these teams are ranked. These programs know each other so well. There's so much on the line. You know, they're fighting for, like, you know, their ownership of the state, you know. And these are great games, and both of these games had big upsets. So Arizona State took down Arizona in OT. What a game. I mean, got a shout out, Ari McDonald, drew up 30 points despite losing that game. Arizona State just had an incredible game. You know, it was a team effort. You know, so gotta love that Arizona State pulled that off, even though they just lost in the Pac-12 tournament today, and that probably means their season's over. But, you know, big upset win to end the year. And then Oregon State, who's had a really, you know, not great year, you know, after, you know, kind of losing, you know, a bunch of their big names last year, pulled off a huge upset over the Oregon Ducks. All 5 starters in double figures, you know, just a team effort led by Aaliyah Goodman, their leader, their senior. And so big win for both state teams over their higher ranked in-state rivals.
Woo.
Woo.
I mean, that's super fun. You gotta love that.
Great way to end the season, you know, great with way. A big upset like that.
Yeah.
And it's definitely shaken like both Oregon and Arizona's, like, you know, standing in terms of what kind of seed they can expect in the NCAA tournament. So
totally
big wins. All right, let's talk about what has impressed you most in the past month since we've been with our viewership.
Totally. So for me, most impressive thing's got to be Texas A&M. Right?
Like, who would have believed they were going to be this good?
Who you, right?
Who, like, yeah.
Who you? They've dominated all year, you know, 22-1, 13-1 in conference, 9 wins against the top 25. You can't discount any of that. That's why they're sitting at 2.
Every time they face a ranked team, I'm like, oh, this team's going to beat them. They never lose.
And they never lose. And it's crazy, because they don't have anybody that's scoring over 14 points a game on their team. It's a committee thing. They're just so solid. They play outstanding defense. That's the main thing. They play amazing team defense.
Yep.
Board real hard. It's the clear showing that if you play as a team and you have good pieces and you believe in something, you could play great, and they are doing it. Yep. So big up on, you know, Texas A&M.
Yeah, and their only loss was to LSU, a loss that they avenged random. Later.
Yeah, random.
That they avenged loss. Later in the year, and they beat, like you said, 9-0 against ranked opponents. Like,
I'm honestly happy that they lost to a team like LSU and not lost to a team that was, like, you know, a top ranked team, because it's like they are human, right? You could see it, but like it. None of their wins get discounted because they just dominated everybody else. Like, they had like really big wins against some of these like top programs. So like
huge wins. I mean, they just beat South Carolina, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, huge win. No one really would have predicted that they would have, you know, been top in the SEC this year. South Carolina was, you know, your number one seed in the tournament last year, and, you know, expected to win it all, basically. You know, them or Oregon was last year. And that was all based on their freshman class being dominant. So no one would have expected Texas A&M to come out of nowhere and just dominate. So really good for them.
Dominate. What about you? Dominate. What's the most impressive thing?
So I know we've already spoke about it, but I need to speak more about it because it just rocks my world. And that's Caitlin Clark. And not only Caitlin Clark, but Caitlin Clark's growth and consistency over the year. Like, she started the year with a bang, but you kind of like, sometimes you think like, okay, you're going to have like your good games and your bad games, and, you know, you're going to like work things out. And like, Iowa doesn't have the best record, but Caitlin Clark has been incredibly consistent with what she's been putting up. I think she has like 10 games of 30 points or more in her freshman season. Like, are you kidding? She's second in D1 women's basketball in scoring at 26.9 points per game. She's second in Division I in assists per game at 7.1. Like, how is a freshman second in points per game and assists per game in the entire freaking country of D1 athletes?
It's insane.
She's insane. She passes the eye test. She's on pace. You know, if she continues to do what she does and isn't disrupted by you know, COVID issues, and she stays 4 years, she'll probably break the scoring record, the Kelsey Plum scoring record that's sitting in D1 that was just broke a few years ago. It's unreal. And I don't know how, if I'm on a committee that has to decide a freshman of the year this year, like, I have to make it a co-win. I have to. So, I can't pick between Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers. They've both been unreal. Paige Beckers has led UConn to the number one spot. Caitlin, the freshman. Freshmen are what impresses me most this year. This year, this month, this week. Insane.
So, do you think Iowa, depending on how they play in their conference tournaments, right? Their conference tournament. If they make the tournament, right? They get.
I think they definitely make the tournament.
So they make the tournament, right?
I think their resume is good enough already.
Is she the scariest player that's not from a big tournament going forward, from a big program going forward, from the top 25 teams, saying, like, is she the scariest person? Like,
I mean, she's definitely the scariest player outside the top 25.
So. To me, like, I look at her and I
she's one of the scariest players, no matter
what. Yeah, that's right. It's just like Iowa could easily be like a giant killer in this tournament.
Totally,
because of what she could do. She's insane. That program is going to be so much better off because of what she's going to do there for the next 4 or 5 years, even because of COVID.
They don't have a great record this year against ranked opponents, but they did just pull off a big win against Michigan, a 22-point win. So, and they almost beat Indiana today. They were up at the half. They almost beat them today to close out their season. So they're super dangerous. You know, you never know what they're going to give you and what they could come up with. So, but Caitlin Clark, what an unbelievable talent. What a tragic loss for Notre Dame. anyway, so that's what's most impressive to me. Just her.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if Dana Evans wasn't a senior and the NCAA wasn't the way they are, I think she should win National Player of the Year.
Caitlin Clark?
Yep.
Yeah, I think she should too. But
Paige had a great year, and they're going to cancel.
She's been unreal.
And they're going to cancel each other out, but what Caitlin Clark has done consistency-wise the entire year as a freshman is insane.
Insane. And honestly, I will be disappointed with nobody else around her. I will be disappointed if one of them wins freshman of the year and not a co-win. I will. Because yeah. I think that they're so deserving, both of them, of walking away with that, you know, accommodation, with that, you know, accolade.
I look at it though too, like Paige gets to do it with other number one talent around her. You know? Yep. And Caitlin Clark's sitting there doing it.
And she's still the best.
I know, but Caitlin Clark's doing it with nobody around her, and she's the best.
Totally. All right, moving on. Spotlight Queens. Spotlight Queens.
I'll go first. My Spotlight Queen this week is none other than Indy Jones.
Indy Jones
from Texas A&M.
Oh, we got to show the love to A&M.
So, yeah, we have to show some love to you guys. You guys were nuts this year, and we've barely shown you any love. So, in that, Indy Jones,
killer,
killing it this year. Gonna be, you know, she has a few more years.
She just had like 16 and 14 against South Carolina.
Yeah, she's having.
Imagine pulling down 14 boards when you're facing Aaliyah Boston on the
round. Yeah. Nutty. She's averaging 12-7 on the year. You know, she's having such a nice year. Like, again, the team only has one other person scoring higher than her at 14 points a game in
Aaliyah Wilson,
yeah. So, wow, what a year. Her Instagram, super fun. Give her the follow. So, how you spell her name, though, is Nadia. That's how you would say NDEA, right? But it's Indy Jones. So NDEA is _ Jones.
JONES.
Yep.
Boom. And it makes you wonder if, like, Indy Jones, it's like Indiana Jones. Is that like, you know, were her parents kind of like, you know, big Indiana Jones fans? They're like, yo, I could have a daughter named Indy Jones. That'd be lit.
Yes, that would be lit. And I'm so happy you used the joke. Yes.
You told me to.
I know. I love you for doing it.
Who's your Spotlight Princess?
So Spotlight Princess going to go throw it back again. Charlize Ledger Walker. Charlize
Ledger Walker, Rookie of the Year in the Pac-12.
Didn't show you guys any love this year as a team, you know.
Why would we?
Exactly. I was about to say that. But you had a great year, and your Instagram's kind of fun, and it's nice to see, you know, you, your sister. So I'll spell it out for everybody. It's CHRLISS.
Oh, CHRL?
Isn't there an A in there? Whoa. It's just on her Instagram.
There's no A in there? It's not her name? It's not Charlize?
I said A, didn't I?
Oh, I didn't hear it.
CHARLISSE?
Uh-huh.
Did I not say the A?
I didn't hear the A, but your mic's been cutting in and out. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the bot picked up the recording.
Okay. So yeah. Dot L E G E R W A L K E R.
Damn, girl.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's just your name and shit, but like,
It's a long one. Long-winded. But, you know, congrats. Great year. 19.
Charlize Ledger Walker.
Great Instagram. Super fun follower. New Zealand.
Hot like queens.
Okay, who you got for me, baby?
So my spotlight queen is going to be Rutgers. Aurelia Garantes. So, started her career at Texas Tech, transferred to Rutgers. She, unfortunately for, you know, women's basketball this year, they had a big, you know, stoppage. They were out for almost, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe even more, you know, where they didn't have any games and they didn't get to play. So we really haven't gotten to see as much of her as we want, but we are going to get to see her in the tournament. And I think that she is a stellar talent. She is someone who's going to make an impact in the next level in the WNBA. I won't be surprised if she's like a top five pick or if she has like a killer tournament and really has a deep run with Rutgers. So you got to throw her a follow. This is Aurelia Garantes, and her Instagram is Aurelia, A-R-E-L-L-A underscore Karen, K-A-R-I-N.
Let's go.
Let's go.
So, Jersey guy here, big fan of Rutgers doing good. You know, it's great for Jersey, great for them. Their men's and women's teams are both in the top 25 for like the first time in like forever.
Let's
the
go.
Women's program is, you know, historic basically in the women's game because C. Vivian Stringer is, you know,
totes.
One of the best
legend.
Ever.
Yeah. Legend.
So cool for Rutgers. Good for you guys having great years in your basketball programs.
Well said. Well said. My spotlight princess.
Yeah,
is going to be Notre Dame's Maddie Westfeld. Maddie Westfeld has led all ACC freshmen in scoring and is second in the ACC among freshmen in rebounding. She was the coach's pick for freshman of the year in the ACC, and she has had a phenomenal year. She gets high praise from her coach, Neil Ivey. And she's been really fun to watch. Older sister won a championship at Notre Dame, and she's trying to follow in those footsteps. She is just an incredible player. She's a 6'2", 6'3", forward, but she can do everything. You know, she puts on the floor, she shoots threes, she boards, she, you know, takes it to the hole. She's a great player. So you should definitely keep an eye on her. She will probably be part of that stacked WNBA draft class when this freshman class becomes seniors. And you can follow her on Instagram at maddie.westbeld. That's maddy.westbeld.
I just hit follow.
Get it, girl.
Let's what? Go. I said
get it.
Yeah. Awesome. So,
do you have anything else?
Is that
that's,
it?
I think that's it for the week. Keep an eye out for your local TV listings for, like, you know, think games that are going to be available this weekend. Expect the ACC, SEC, and Pac-12 championship matches on Sunday to all be televised on ESPN or ESPN2. Those will start fairly early in the day. Keep an eye out for those and any others that might be televised on Saturday in the semifinals. This is a great weekend to watch some games, interconference rivalry games. You know, tournament champion games. You know, this is going to be a good weekend. So keep an eye out, tune in, support these women. This has been the Queens of the Court podcast. We're the King Size Queens. I'm Paul Jafrida.
I'm John Hanson.
Thanks for listening and
bye.
If all of the kings had their queens on the throne, we would pop champagne and raise a toast to all.